Tip FM's Tip Today with Fran Curry.
In association with Slattery's of Pecan, Tipperary's main Peugeot dealer. Slattery's Garage Pecan, the name you can trust for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.
I was reading a piece on male health yesterday, and the article posed a very interesting question. How can we make sure that our sons and male family members practice real self-care? Well, to talk to me about this, I'm delighted to be joined by parenting expert Laura Erskine. Laura, good morning to you.
Good morning.
And it's lovely to talk to you again. As you know, males, we're not fans of talking things out. We're not very good at that. We're not even good at taking care of ourselves, really, are we?
No, unfortunately, men tend to bottle things up and have this sort of macho facade that self-care is more for women and men should be strong and able to withstand anything that life throws at them and almost view themselves as being weak if something does get to them. So this is something that's really important, especially now more than ever, that we foster in our young men. So that's our boys, our little boys who are growing into teens, to make sure that they understand that actually it's okay for boys to cry. It's really important to talk about your feelings. And there are ways that you as a boy or young man can actually practice self-care. And it's not all about bubble baths and lighting candles. There are lots of other ways that men can engage with self-care to help clear their mind through things like sport, meditation, and lots of other activities.
Yeah, because there is that perception that self-care is a pampering session, Laura.
Absolutely. And this is the thing that we, I suppose, maybe we need to reframe some of the words around it. That self-care is not just for women and looking after yourself and the idea that you have to sit around and talk with your girlfriends about all of your feelings. It's actually just about helping you to process what's going on in your life. So whether that's a new relationship you might have started, it could be just all of the rush of hormones as you're growing from a young boy into a young man and how overwhelming that could be. It could be, you know, processing relationships with other children in the area or in school, or it could be anything from, you know, issues you might have with not progressing on the local football team, or you know, not feeling cool or fitting in the gang. So there's so many things that can go on for you know, a young man or a young woman, and the important thing is, as parents, I suppose, is to not make little of anything, to make sure that we don't dismiss their feelings, and that we actually encourage them to open up and talk about it. And men typically don't do that. So a good way of getting guys to talk is actually two ways. One is in the car when they have nowhere to escape.
Yeah.
So whether they're sitting beside you in the passenger seat or in the back seat when it's non-confrontational because they're not even looking at you, they can look out the window. Starting conversations there is a good idea. And also texting or emailing. Sometimes boys don't find it easy to talk about their feelings. So checking in, whether it's with emojis or WhatsApp texts or some giffies, just to say, hey, I'm thinking about you. I've noticed you've been a bit quiet lately, maybe a bit withdrawn, or you seem to be a little bit angry lately, helping to name some of those feelings and encouraging them to talk about it, or just letting them know that you're there when they're ready to talk about it.
When a parent is looking out for signs, I suppose, Laura, it's difficult not to confuse the usual teenage angst and sort of the teenage kind of a being cool and silent and ignoring parents, to mix that up with something that might be something more profound, like a mental health issue or something like that.
Absolutely. And research shows that particularly in young children who are likely to have a mental health issue, that it starts rearing itself or showing itself before the age of 14. So it is something that we need to be watching out for in our young boys and our young girls. And some of the signs that you might confuse with just normal, you know, teenage angst is, you know, a continuous low mood or sadness, whether they're you know, voicing feelings of hopelessness, like saying I'm no good at this, I'm no good at school, I'm no good at sport, what's the point? Not being engaged in really anything, whether that's their friends or things that they used to find interesting, being irritable or intolerant of others, perhaps fighting with siblings, fighting with you, nearly looking for a row. And then maybe disturbed sleep. So, you know, just, you know, not sleeping well, being very tired in the morning. Now, teenagers are growing a lot, so they're going to be sleeping more. So it is important to take devices out of their room at night so that they do get a good night's sleep, or turn off the Wi-Fi. Whether you can do that remotely with a lot of the Google Home and other apps you can. It's something that you know, definitely does interfere with sleep. And there's a lot of you know, online isolation that goes on with it, you know, not being part of cliques, online bullying that you might not even be aware of. So it is important to keep having those conversations within your home, whether it's around the dinner table.
How do you broach that kind of, I mean, if you suspect that there is an issue, how do you broach it with them?
If you feel that your child is somebody who's not going to open up with you, or they're having difficulty putting words to their feelings, or maybe even admitting that something's going on, a really useful way is to start referencing you know, items that are in the news or scenes or themes that would have been in movies. So a good one is Mean Girls when you're talking to women. But also there are other, you know, books and news items where you can say, look, I was listening to the radio this morning and I heard a mom talking about her son and he's going through this issue. Gosh, you know, does any of that go on in your school, or does that go on in your friends? Or, you know, there were boys drinking, and, you know, whether it's alcohol that you might want to probe, and the use of drugs that you might want to probe, even access to porn. And you might want to probe or have a conversation, a healthy conversation about what they should or shouldn't be accessing on their devices in their bedrooms, and what's healthy and what's not. So I'd say the most important thing to do is to have a really open house in terms of all of these conversations, and to say that nothing is off limits. And the last thing you want to do is to have your children hiding stuff from you, and for it to come out in a more, you know, disastrous way with a knock on the door of something that you don't want to meet. It's really important to keep having those conversations and saying that no matter what happens, that you're always there for them, that you'll always have their back, and to make sure that they know that they can trust you, even if they might be in trouble.
A lovely part of the article I read yesterday, Laura, was that notion that time has to be set aside for family time, and I suppose mealtime is the best time to have that, you know, that there's an insistence that we all sit together at a particular time.
Yes, absolutely. And it's difficult to do that at the best of times. But I think COVID has forced us all to sit together at mealtimes, because we're not running off for football training or karate or all of the other things, or rushing home to do a big project from school. I think schoolwork has perhaps relaxed a little bit, and certainly all of those extracurricular activities aren't going on, and the race to go out and meet friends, because we can't do that really unless it's in a socially distanced way, isn't going on. So now definitely is the time to instill those values in your family, of sitting down and having at least one meal every day together. And if that's not possible or realistic in your own family, then try and name the days that you're definitely going to do that. So it could be 3 weekdays that you do it. And there are some good resources out there. I mean, Mummy Pages, where you actually, where this article first appeared around helping our sons to practice self-care, is a good one for parents. Another one is parentline.ie. That's a free phone national helpline for parents, particularly of parents of teens who might be struggling with issues that are arising at home. And there's some no judgment, confidential, professional advice there at the end of the phone. And then for teenagers, it's important to point out where they can go to get help if they feel that they're struggling themselves. They don't always have to talk to you. Funout.ie is a great resource for teens. It's run by adolescents and young mental health experts. So there's lots of really good practical advice there, where teens can engage. And then it's important to keep things going, like exercise, spending time with family, and then normalizing things like, you know, practicing yoga or meditation. That's not cool for maybe young boys. Mm. But when you point to other, you know, of their heroes who might be engaging in that practice, like, for example, Ryan Giggs, next Man United player, he's somebody who's a big practicer of yoga and meditation. And actually to encourage them that if they can't do that, that they maybe listen to an app. I know Dermot and Dave of Today FM, this Dermot there has come out and talking about his own meditation and his own mental health struggles. Try and find somebody who they can connect with, somebody who they can engage with. And there are some useful Headspace apps that they can download with even just 5-minute meditations that you might encourage them to listen to before they go to sleep.
Of course. Is there an issue as well, particularly I'm thinking of maybe the older teen boys, where relationships are concerned? I mean, it's a very different world we're in now. And in terms of consent and all of that, the young boys have to take on board and hopefully be that needs to be spoken of at home as well. But it's a lot to take on as well, isn't it?
It absolutely is. There's a whole huge area of sexual education that we need to discuss with our teen boys, everything from consent to what is normal and healthy within a relationship, because there is so much free access to online pornography that they can get without you even realizing.
Yeah.
So it's about normalizing those conversations, and also actually, you know, talking about different sexual preferences. This is something that I think many of us parents need education in, just as much as our teens, because there's so many acronyms for different preferences that are now being discussed in secondary school that maybe we're not even aware of. So it is important to read up on those areas and have those conversations. Maybe even let your child educate you a little bit on some of those acronyms and just research it together. Another useful tool is webwise.ie, which is, again, it's a national website with government funding, which has professional experts talking about online bullying, online pornographic content. It's talking about anything really to do with the internet, and either whether it's images or conversations that are going on there, that or apps or new games that might have, sort of a dark background underlying theme to that parents need to educate themselves on, and it gives you pointers as to how to have those conversations with your children. It's a minefield for sure.
Just finally, if you would, and it's a question from a listener, and I wish I thought of it because it's a very good point as well, how much does Laura think of extracurricular activity for kids is too much? And that's kind of interesting, isn't it? Because they're doing ballet and music and sport and blah blah blah, you know, and it's a non-stop go from early morning to a day. Now, this is, of course, when COVID isn't amongst us. But what do you make of that? It's an interesting point, isn't it?
It is. And certainly there can be too much. Some children absolutely thrive with a huge amount of extracurricular activities, and it really it helps them to expel energy and also to process mentally while they're playing with, you know, those team sports, or whether they're running or engaging in other things like music, which is another extracurricular activity that's often overlooked. And they're all really good for our mental health and well-being. But in terms of too much, you know, children do need some downtime, some time to do nothing, because school is you know, quite intense. So it's recommended that at least 2 evenings a week should be, reserved for downtime. So between all of the training and the matches and everything else that goes on during the week and the weekends, at least 2 evenings a week should be reserved for downtime. And then after that, it's to keep checking in with your child to make sure they're not overwhelmed, to make sure they're not too tired for school, and to make sure that they're still enjoying it and that you're not trying to live vicariously through your child.
And God knows that happens often enough. Laura, it's a real pleasure. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Good morning to you. That's Laura Erskine there, who's a parenting expert and indeed a marketing consultant as well. We'll take a break and then we're back with Tipperary's greatest sporting moments.
If it matters to you, it matters to us. Call TIP today on 1-800-938-007. TIP FM's TIP Today with Fran Curry.
In association with Slattery's of Pecan, Tipperary's main Peugeot dealer. Slattery's Garage Pecan, the name you can trust for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie. Heads.